Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the New Media Show. My name is Todd Cochran. We are live on Blab versus being in my studio in Honolulu. I'm still on travel. So once again, coming to you live from a hotel room. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to my guest, my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Hey, Todd, you world traveler, you. This is like your third week on tour, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess how we should say eating out done.
You want a little home cooked meal for once.
Yeah, huh? I go into Hawaii and So I'm ready for it's hard to eat good on the road too. It's always so much yummy stuff you can be very bad and eat not good.
Yes, so. Yeah, exactly. So I would imagine being on the road and spending time with various media companies yet to be undisclosed. That you're kind of getting a sense for some trends out there or how people are thinking about the space at from a little different perspective than probably what you normally get.
Yeah, and I just lost my camera, so I don't know what happened there. That's weird. Can you still see me?
Yeah, fortunately, you're smiling, and but you're very still. Yes.
I don't know what happened. The camera went off. Well, yeah, you know, it's been interesting. It's been fun. Can't complain. The trip has been good. Lots of discussions with lots of vendors, signed some deals. From that perspective, I'm pretty happy with things.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, I don't know why I cannot, my camera just like quit. And I don't know if you can change the camera midstream or what.
Well, you could kind of just close out your session, but I don't know, is that going to kill this? Because you're the one that started it.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I guess not.
If you were to back out and then come back in again. Yeah, okay. So this is okay. Todd will hopefully come back in here pretty quick, but it's been a pretty good day or pretty good week in the podcasting space. There's always stuff going on. Yeah. Todd's back. Looks like.
All right. There we go.
Spreaker had some big announcements this week too, so we were pushing on all cylinders. It's kind of, as Todd, as you know, it's kind of challenging to roll out multiple products back to back,
right?
From an organizational and outward bound communications, it can be a little bit of a challenge. And I know a lot of, and this could be a good topic for us to talk about too. But it seems like that there's a lot of podcast companies. I wouldn't say a lot, but there's a handful of podcast companies out there that are, you know, doing some breakout things. I mean, you're announcing cool stuff all the time. Yep. We're launching new software all the time, and you do a lot of effort to do PR and get the word out about it. And it just doesn't seem like that the mainstream media picks up on stuff other than anything to do with public radio.
Right. You know, and it's one of the challenges that we've had over the years is, you know, frankly, I used to get really pissed when we would do something and it would be pretty monumental and then get no coverage whatsoever. And then someone would do something stupid and they would get a New York Times piece. And a lot of times I think it has to do with who companies are connected with. If they're venture capital based, maybe the venture capitalist has a connection with a reporter or they do pay to play. There's a lot of that still goes on today where companies actually pay to be posted on websites. And so, you know, we've never done that. And oftentimes it's made it harder to, you know, to build a brand and do what we do. But you just have to, and I think every business faces that, and you just have to kind of do the best you can. We still use press releases. We're going to come out.
So do we. So, I mean, it does seem like a little old school, but it's a way to concisely deliver images and kind of a concise message
right
around what it is, right? And it's easy to share that. Go ahead.
And some of those get picked up better than others.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so it's the same situation podcasters have. You've got podcasters that are doing fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
And yet they are having a hard time breaking out, you know? So it's just frustration. I can feel it and I hear it in emails from people, you know, what am I doing wrong? And they're really not doing anything wrong. They're drowned out by the big players. You know, as much as I like Nick over at, you know, the newsletter that he puts out, he never writes beyond people in the public radio space.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot more going on in the space. And those guys live in their own bubble. And, you know, there was a New York Times piece that was talking about, matter of fact, it was a topic I promised to cover on today's show for some people, talking about targeting people during Thanksgiving and, you know, because people are going to be on the road listening to podcasts. Yeah. So it's one of those situations where we all have to really kind of buckle down and work to get the message out and cross promote across shows. But you know, so you guys did your rollout on your new app. Mm-hmm. So essentially you guys, and I kind of asked you this in another chat that we were having, you're essentially at this point competing with Stitcher, right?
Well, to some extent, just in the Android app, we're allowing externally hosted shows to be included in a pass-through situation. So there's a certain amount of shows that are in the catalog. It's around 1,000 shows that are in the catalog right now that are treated just like you know, how podcasts are treated in iTunes. And then there's the other 27,000 that are hosted on Spreaker that are treated differently. So and that's kind of a direction that we wanted to go, just from the standpoint of being a listening platform that was more more appealing to listeners in general, right? Sure, people can get access to our shows that are hosted on our platform, but there's a lot of shows out there that, you know, a listener would want to have in addition to that too. So let's say they want to listen to Serial, or they want to listen to a program from NPR. They can do that in this app in a kind of like a radio like experience, where it's kind of linear playback. So you click play by a certain genre or topic, and it will play the episodes that are most recent in a playlist type format. And that's not revolutionary or anything like that, but we're just trying to build easier discovery and having more kind of customized playlists based on, you know, so like an article could appear in the New York Times that lists the top 10 sports podcasts or something like that. Well, we're creating curated lists based on that article in the software. So you can come in and actually see what those top 10 podcasts were and have a easy way to get access to those.
You know, someone published a list of like, they had like 15 categories or something like that. And they like 10 shows per list. And, you know, a lot of the shows were the same exact characters that are out there. And the, you know, this is a challenge that podcasters are having today. If you're not in the top 200 over on iTunes, you're going to be buried, and maybe you shouldn't be buried, but you're just not being seen. So the content creators themselves are going to have to really work hard to go where their audiences are. We got a question that came in on the chat room. Says, do you think blabs have to be shows, or can serve in other ways when they're not shows? Oh, absolutely. I think blabs are a great way to hang out and collaborate and do work and have meetings. And I think you're limited to only four people on a chat. So,
it may not be a tool for inside, you know, like company meetings or something like that, because it tends to be a public thing. But yeah, you're right. It's limited to four people. Where, you know, like a hangout, I think is limited to like 8 or 10 or something like that. Or yeah, I think you can buy even a premium version that'll go higher than that.
Yeah.
So there may be better solutions depending on what you're trying to do.
I think there is a way to set a private blab too. I saw it during the setup.
Oh, really?
Today.
Oh, okay.
I think so. I think you can choose private, but it's something, you know, I think most people are using blab to get exposure, and this is a cheap way to do video. You know, so
it's easy, and it's easy. good quality sound, and the video appears to be pretty good. I think it's pretty small from a, you know, playback experience. Like as an export, you know, our pictures are pretty small in the playback, but I'd say that's the only kind of comment that I have about it. But
But overall, I'm pretty pleased. You know, it's worked out well for us being on the road. And Rob's going to be in Berlin, or so you're going to be where next month?
I'm going to be in Spain, in Spain. Barcelona, Spain, for the Spreaker kind of team retreat. So it's the first time I get to meet everybody.
So you know, we'll be able to use this when you're over there. If it works out, we need to do a show from, you know, while you're remote. So I think that it's good. Someone's asking us, what do you mean by new media? New media can really be inclusive of YouTube, podcasters, vloggers, anyone that's creating content that's outside the mainstream. So really, we're not restricting our conversation to just podcasts. Rob and I are heavily, obviously, involved in the podcasting space. But, you know, we've had a variety of folks on this show over the years that we've had YouTube superstars. We've had luminaries in the podcasting space. New media is kind of that term that I guess all those groups fall under.
I mean, I think we've been fairly focused on the podcasting space over the last, probably the last year or so. But prior to that, we were doing a lot of stuff around just regular online video and kind of online creation of content. So it's a focus that we've kind of or a lack of focus, I guess, maybe. I think we've gotten more focused on just the podcasting space because it's something both Todd and I eat and breathe every day, 7 days a week. So we can certainly talk about that at a much deeper level than we can, let's say, you know, optimizing your experience on YouTube.
Although, you know, the show that we do when I'm back in Hawaii in my studio, for anyone that wants to see we want you to go over to newmediashow.com. That's where the website where the show originates. But we use YouTube Live generally. Yeah. We might start using this a little more. You know, it's been pretty good from an interactive standpoint. We've seemed to have gotten a lot of folks to come in and ask questions. So we'll make some decisions down that. But we'll probably have to – I'll have to do some – I guess better word, experimenting, so we can get the audio or the video the way we want. These little slivers of video makes it good for doing chats, but don't necessarily make for a great interactive experience. I'll have to get screens that can show and different stuff. So, but I'm just using my MacBook today, so it's easy.
Yeah, I tried to play around with those, you know, the ones that can layer things on top of your image, and they're the one that I played with, what was a little bit of a cartoonish thing. It wasn't really all that serious. Yeah, I think Skype actually has some of those things built into it, and you know, it's like, you know, it'll put like a cat face on your head or something, or put glasses on you or something. So it's not really all that useful, I would say. I mean, if you want to create kind of a visually weird program, it's okay.
Yeah, but anyway, there's you know, I'm glad to see you guys got your announcement out, got your app out. Now you just got to build get your audiences to start promoting it. And it's an ongoing thing. And I've been working, I'm lucky. I have some very proactive audience members on my other show that I do. And we are very close to being basically submitting the Geek News Central app to both Android and to iTunes. So basically, we're working with the App Presser folks. They're a partner of ours at Raw Voice. And I wanted to see what work was really needed to get this app ready and get it out on the street. And so I'm going to write a tutorial to tell people how they do that. But I'm very, very pleased. I'm going to have a very beautiful app I'm going to be able to introduce soon. But it's kind of like phase one. So if for $50 a month, I can update it. I can actually lock it in. I don't have to continue to pay if I don't want to lock in the design and release it. And the best thing is I own it. So that's,
That's awesome. That's
an important part. Yeah. So we'll see how it, one of the guy that's been working on it, you know, has been going back and forth to App Presser folks and asking some questions. And so maybe we'll have an app for this show at some point.
So Ted, why don't you tell us about your new PowerPress add-on for, you know, that adds on crowdfunding capability. Why don't you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, it's not an add-on. It's just a new
feature in the PowerPress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a new feature. So there's currently, and I'll have to go and look. Let me see if I can bring it up here. The company or the app that we worked with was a, it's called the Skipcast app. It's an iOS application, an iOS podcast application. And it's really the first of its kind to take donate links from the RSS feed to display the podcaster's donate or Patreon link within the application. So what we did is we've added some tags, and our really our goal was, just like our Subscribe on Android initiative, is we want other third-party apps to add a donate or support link in their apps or sites. And because we're going to be allowing podcasters to enter that data in PowerPress, and it's just right in their settings, it's two fields they have to fill out. Once they fill that out, once the RSS feed updates, it can either be a donate link to your website, it could be a donate link to Patreon, it could be an it could be a PayPal email address. So once those are in there, as other apps pick up the ability to support shows through a direct, you know, basically click on the site and say support here, what it really does is gives content creators another way to move or have revenue where they don't have to come to, or generate revenue where they don't have to come to the .com. So if there's someone's using an app that has that and they just click donate, they'll be able to donate from right within their phone. They won't have to load a browser. Yeah. So that's what we're going to announce. We're going to have an update on PowerPress on Monday as well. Basically we've implemented the Clamor stuff. So Clamor support will come into PowerPress on Monday.
Yeah, that's all great stuff. You know, I mean, I think that a lot of the podcast apps should support that kind of stuff. I agree with you 100%. And yeah, have you been playing around with the idea of, and this is something I've been thinking about for a long time, you know, a lot of podcasts are sorted by, you know, are supported by DR advertising or direct response advertisers, and they use promo codes. Have you been thinking about that problem too, of being able to display that?
Well, we have a solution in place for a long, long time that will do that.
Oh.
Right now, it's called MetaMarks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And essentially what we have to do is get people to adopt that API or adopt. It's really not even API. Yeah. It's going to be – hang on a second. Can you come back in about an hour? Thank you. Hotel. essentially with MetaMarks, what we did is we had hoped that over time, developers and so forth would pick up those MetaMarks and be able to, for example, we've got the ability to put a time hack and be able to say, okay, at this point on a player, pop up a hyperlink or pop up a survey or pop up a place to make a comment field. So all that stuff was built in. Sadly, we did not get much support. Ultimately is here's Raw Voice, here's Blueberry, here's PowerPress, putting these cool things together because we didn't think about it. Do we really want to help their cause by adding support for it, which will make, you know, people use the Blueberry products more? Well, you know, sadly for the podcasters, that was the mentality of some of our competitors, and they never basically implemented the ability to display the MetaMarks. We're looking at the ways that we can basically work around, and at some point, you know, we're not going to need to have everyone will be the one that will just have the implementation.
So what's your thoughts at this point about the whole Google namespace issue? Is that, did you guys get in and address that?
Yeah, we released the update to PowerPress with the namespace, and, you know, most of it's cross compatible with iTunes namespace. So there's a one for one.
Yeah.
So basically you have an iTunes namespace that says title. You have a Google namespace that says title. And the way we're kind of looking at it is if you want to use the Google namespace, what you really can do is you can experiment and do an A/B test. So you have a certain title for your iTunes and a certain title for Google Play. It'd be a good way to, you know, basically do some A/B testing and at the same time be able to, maybe there's going to be, we won't know until the Google Play Store's release whether or not the stuff is going to be discoverable via search. So once we get the sites up, once they get their site up and get running, we'll then be able to go back and do experiments and say, okay, if I search for a new media show, what shows up in the search results? I see an iTunes listing. Do I see the Google Play? If I don't see the Google Play, where does that term need to be in their tags in order to come up in the search results?
Yeah.
So once they release Google Play and put it out, we'll be able to figure out a little bit more on where the sweet spot is in using their tags, but we've got it set up so people can use those tags.
Yeah. Is it clear to you? And I'm just getting your feedback on it. What kind of the agenda is, or where they're going with that namespace from the standpoint of, I mean, if they're one-to-one, then why did Google come out with their own namespace? I mean, I think it's an interesting question.
I'm suspicious that they are going to expand upon that.
Yeah.
I think it may be the beginning
of everybody creating specific feeds for them. You know, I know I've had that conversation.
Not necessarily have to make specific feeds, but
well, I can see some advantages for that.
If they expand the namespace and say, okay, so here's where your drop space. Well, here's the problem right now, and this is what people need to realize about Google Play too. And I don't want to get on them too hard here yet because the product's not even on the street, but they're not doing revenue share. There's no revenue share with any advertising if they decide to put it in. It clearly says that. There's also some, if you read the terms of service very, very closely, you have to be very careful about if you are a political show and you are bashing someone, there are some terms in there that are a little bit eye-opening from a content standard standpoint on if they enforce. And maybe it's just the lawyer speak, who knows? Because, you know, terms of service are only as good as
the enforcement of it.
Yeah. Enforcement.
Yeah.
So if they do what I think they're going to do, we can probably talk bad about someone and not get kicked off the Google Play Music podcast store. But, you know, we won't know. But I think it's important everyone, you know, I heard one show say, no, we're not going to put our show on Google Play Music specifically because of the potential for the advertising to go in and them not get any revenue share. They said, no, we're not. And
I can see certain content networks not wanting their content on there because Google's rehosting it or they're redistributing it. Now, granted, they're willing to share an API back. Though, have you seen this spec? For the API yet, Todd?
We haven't. I don't know if we've seen the spec.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. They told me that they were going to send it to me, but they never did. So
you know, they are. I'm sure they're. You know, they're trying to get a product ready to launch. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, it's still early, but I think if they want to have that data connection, I think you're going to be able to go into your account with them and get access to your metrics.
Right.
But I think that kind of API was just going to be shared back to the big hosting platforms to aggregate that stuff a little bit better.
Well, you know, we'll see what they do. Or do they only open the API up to partners? Or, you know, how do they define that? Again, I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt and we'll see what happens. We're speculating on stuff at this point that we have really no more details. Now, it would be nice if they would communicate a little bit more with some of us.
Yeah, well, Daniel J. Lewis, he posted in here too. It's possible that while someone is listening to my podcast, they'll see someone's ad or an ad on the billboard area, you know, around that listening experience. But I don't get any of the shared revenue from that. I mean, if you think about Gmail, they do wrap keyword. Yeah. You know, sponsored keyword links around all content. So you could, you could envision the AdWords stuff being displayed visually, at least, you know, on those pages.
And, you know, and probably what we're, you know, and again, the concern I have, and no one yet has been able to answer this question we talked a little bit about in the last week, is this going to be only a streaming platform or is it going to allow traditional download and listen on demand? And listen on demand if you're on an airplane without an internet connection, not listen on demand using my data while I'm my mobile data while I'm out browsing around?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, it's a good question. Likely it'll be, I mean, this is my speculation just based on most of the music services, and this is clearly tied in with the music services, that it's probably going to be streaming first with an optional download is my guess.
And if that's the case, I think people are in for a rude awakening. I think podcasters are going to flip out. Well, maybe they won't flip out. Maybe they don't care. It's the Spotify model that is streaming, you know, it's not, you know, so.
But I've been warning about this for a while, that this is the direction that these big companies were going to push. I mean, I think it is, you know, it would be an easy problem for them to fix, that they could do a subscription model, but if it's all being, you know, people just want to click play, right? I mean, Todd, but the problem is, do they want to listen offline? And I think if they feel like maybe if they support that download, they can do that. It's just not as easy to get access to the content if you're not subscribed and get it automatically synced. Yeah.
Case in point, this whole week, I have been loaded, you know, for the last 2 weeks, I've been loaded every day in the car, in the Uber, in a rental car, whatever it may be. I've been loaded for bear, and basically whatever hotel I'm in, I'm going to get up on the Wi-Fi and, you know, I pull down whatever I'm going to have for the day, and I go, and I'm not using my data plan to listen to all this media. I'm on airplanes and so forth.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a work in progress. I think we'll just have to wait and see what Google says. You know, it.
I mean, frankly, Todd, I still listen to podcasts on my Zune HD. So I don't have to use my phone battery. I think it's still an issue, I think, with you know, in this space, people being concerned about using their battery life to listen to podcasts. I mean, I still think that there's a place for media players with some people. But it's just not something that's, you know, anybody's going after that market anymore.
But, you know, supporting podcasting and doing podcasting in the traditional sense are two different words. So, we'll see what happens. If I was a betting man right now, and if I had to go to Vegas and put money on the table, I'd probably put $100 on the table that it's going to be stream, that it's not going to be a download play. I don't think you're going to be able to download the media.
Yeah.
Even if they do, then I'm going to be really ecstatic, and I think it'll go a long ways. And another thing is, we don't know if we're going to have a dedicated podcasting app. I think we are. But if we, again, going back to what I said before, if they require the OEMs, just like they require them to carry the Google Maps and Google Appointments and all that stuff, if they force them to carry them talking about Sony, Samsung, all the third-party OEMs that run Android or have Android as their base, if they force them to load a default podcasting app, I think it's going to be great. Now, if it's strictly tied to Google Play Music, I don't know. I will see how much of a bump it is. But I'll be honest, I have a couple of Android devices and I've never used Google Play. So, you know, there's a lot of options. You got Pandora, you got Spotify, you've got TuneIn, you've got, you know, a dozen other places to go listen to music. So I think the dedicated podcasting app is going to be important.
So I just added to the comment thread here a link to a YouTube video that our listeners can go watch of a Spotify, you know, executive. Is a guy that he's like the VP in charge of I think sales, ad sales for Spotify. He's talking about the podcast area, and it was in the Hiveo conference here this past June. And just watch that video, and you'll get a clear sense that those guys don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know, it's very obvious too. Spotify, you know, I have an ongoing email back and forth with them saying, okay, when are you ready for the other 300,000 shows that are in the podcasting space to come on board? You know,
they may not want that, ready? Todd. They may not want that.
Well, they are going to, and they already are alienating a certain segment of the podcasting community by basically.
No, I agree. You know, that's the other direction that I think this is going to is that the big shows are going to continue to be the focus, right? And I think that's the next big thing. As these big companies get involved, they're going to, just like what we saw with Pandora, they're going to say, well, we want to do a deal with the two biggest, most popular shows, This American Life and Serial, and that's it. Or chances are what will happen is that they'll add this new show, and they'll do a big publicity push around, well, you know, we're going to add this network, and then so they're going to like piece it together over time and get a lot of press exposure about it, but it's not going to be a serious effort in trying to support this industry, but it's going to build over time. I mean, and that's not a bad thing for the industry. It just tells you, it's just one strategy, but it's clearly cherry picking the content.
Someone said long tail in the chat room. You know, I gotta be honest with all of you, and I'm going to be harsh. Only 3% of podcasters globally have long tail. The rest of you talk about having long tail, you're blowing smoke. Well, I can be really rude, but here's what it is.
Well, Todd, so let's get clear. What is long tail in the context of what you're talking about?
Long tail is people come in and listen to content months later.
Oh,
yes. Something that was produced today. Okay, that's long tail. There are very, very, very few shows, 3% globally, that truly have long tail, where people come in and listen to it months later and have appreciable downloads. Now, let's talk about appreciable downloads. Download numbers where it would be worth to go back and rebuild that content and be able to monetize it and pay some bills.
Yeah.
90, let me say this correctly. 90% of podcast episode. Okay, wait a minute. 97% of podcast episodes will have 90% of their lifetime downloads within the first 72 hours that they're online.
Yeah.
That's 97% of podcasts will have 90% of the downloads that their episode will ever achieve, again, within the first 72 to 96 hours.
Yeah.
Those at 3% that have true long tail.
Yeah.
Those are money machines. Grammar Girl, quick and dirty tips. You want to learn how to do long tail? You go over there and listen to her content.
Yeah.
She does long tail. That network, oh my God, no one does it better. Some people say, oh, I get downloads, I get some listens later on. Well, of course, onesies, twosies, tensies, twenties. Yeah. We're talking, when I'm talking hundreds and or tens and thousands, you know, that's long tail. Sure, you're going to get the super fan. You're going to get that P1 in radio jargon, that P1 listener that's going to go back and listen to the whole stack. Yeah. You know, those are the super fans. Those guys are going to come in, and you know you're going to have those. Mm-hmm. But typically, audiences don't have a lot of P1. So I don't want to make you mad there, BSP TV. And maybe that wasn't the context you were referring to. But most podcasts, even though they try to achieve long tail, it's because of the way podcasts are being consumed today. And maybe the Google Play people will change this, but people listen from the newest to the oldest. And most of the podcatchers and most of the applications out there, 3, 5, 10, 15 episodes, maybe is the max. People, you know, people just don't go back and listen to older episodes because most podcasters are telling stories, you know, and there's a sequence. You know, and if you jump in, it's kind of weird to go back because they'll refer to a couple. So, you know, not a lot of people start at number one and work their way up. Most people jump in and then grow from there. So,
yeah, I agree. I mean, most podcasts, you know, like you said, expire pretty fast. And the shows that have the evergreen content, which is another term to describe this, can take advantage of other monetization approaches like subscriptions to their archives. I know Mark Maron does this. Mr. Adam Carolla does this. where they sell a monthly subscription, gives access to all their back catalog. So they'll just display the first, right, you know, 20 episodes or something like that for free. And then those drop into their subscription process in the back end,
right,
as they publish new episodes.
Yeah, BSP goes on to say, I agree with what you said in regards to Spotify and content. There are podcasters that have an audience of only a dozen listeners. If it doesn't cost any more to add thousands of shows, that's 12,000 more people. So don't get me wrong. I believe distribution everywhere is great. I think distribution, and maybe that's what you're referring to, distribution is fantastic. Matter of fact, next week we're going to be announcing something in regards to distribution that we're actually doing at Raw Voice Blueberry that's going to really expand where your show can go. And I probably shouldn't have said that. I've kind of left the cat out of the bag. But we're going to be announcing a new partner and some stuff with distribution. So we feel distribution is – I've always thought distribution was important. Mm-hmm. That's why we were the 12th, 13th, and 14th channel on Roku. You know, we've always been about distributing. That's what, and, you know, and owning and controlling your own feed and being able to distribute where you want is critical with that. But what Spotify is currently doing is they have a very limited number of places and where you can actually get into the Spotify platform during their beta. They haven't opened it up to podcasters at large. Whereas Google basically said, come on, everybody, come on. Come on in. And we don't know that they've turned anyone away, which I applaud them for.
Well, I think the only time that they would turn somebody away, my understanding is it based on their content rules, you know, that they have, you know, if there's any content that's illegal or if there's slander or if there's, you know.
Brad saying that's good for me because I have Nevergreen content. Well, Brad, I have Nevergreen content on my tech show too. It's in the clock starts ticking. The matter of fact, within minutes of that show being published, it is on a death spiral. So, you know, for me, the 96 hour or 72 hours is critical for, you know, but.
Well, I would think most of your distribution is via subscription too. So what's happening is that file's getting dropped on some device or tablet or computer automatically, and that's why you see that huge spike.
Well, at the same time, my folks know that when the show exactly is going to drop to the hour, and they know that, you know, they're on the clock too. They understand this is going to expire. It's new news. It's current that they're going to get in and get out. So the shows that are quote unquote evergreen, I think they just assume because they're evergreen, people are going to go back and listen. But you know, someone said, I got an evergreen show or I have a long tail show. And I'll be like, your stats don't show that. So, you know, it's, and I don't want to be rude to them, but it's just a pure fact. Most people don't do it well. And actually there's some tricks that folks, actually, I'm going to tell you, if you go over and look at if you follow what Quick and Dirty Tips are doing, look at their strategy, look at their publishing and republishing schedule, you'll understand how they're able to do what they do and be able to keep those old shows in the loop and keep them cycled. Hey, Rob, there was one thing I wanted to talk about today. I promised the guys in the podcast movement group that I would mention it, talking about doing your show during the holiday period. Traditionally, people want to go on vacation. You know, you want to you know, take a break from podcasting because it's, you know, it's the holidays, it's time to relax, spend time with family. No, this is not the time to relax. This is the time to pour on the coals. This is the time to put on extra episodes. And maybe not as much for Thanksgiving, but here's what you target for Thanksgiving. If you have a show that's recording on Monday, this is that's the show to experiment to go to 90 minutes if you only do a 30-minute show. Okay, because mom and dad and the kids are getting in the car and they're going to drive to grandma's house 2-3 hours or they're getting on an airplane, you know,
and they want to be distracted
and you are going to be their distraction for the Thanksgiving travel weekend. So you want to give them a reason to listen to you for 2 hours. So that's the Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, you have a big responsibility to help them keep their sanity. and you know, that's an extra load on that podcaster to actually accomplish that and to entertain them and make them smile.
Right,
They're maybe struggling to do that.
The kids in the backstreet are driving them batshit crazy. You know, we've all been there, right? Yeah. When are we going to get there? How long is it going to take to drive? You know, I got to go pee. You know, the kids might be on the tablets doing their thing, and your wife may be on watching Facebook on hers, and you're driving. So you want to be in that guy's ear that day, or that lady, or whoever it may be. So,
you could also be part of contributing to that guy getting in trouble with his wife, though. Maybe. You're not, you know, you're distracted. You're not focused on. Yeah. You know, what okay. I need.
Yeah. So that's Thanksgiving. Now let's talk Christmas. Yeah. So what does everyone get at Christmas? They get a new toy. And adults get gadgets. Adults get tablets. Adults get smart media devices. And also there's a whole new generation of people who are graduating into bigger and more powerful devices. Maybe they're going to get that big iPad Pro. They're going to get that new Samsung tablet, whatever it may be. We're all getting gadgets for Christmas. And, okay, so you get the gadget, you load Facebook, you load LinkedIn, you load Yelp, you load your 20, 30 apps that you have currently that you go to on a daily basis. But what are you going to listen to next? You're thinking, I need to subscribe to some podcasts. Now, there's a percentage of people you get because they're brand new. So the post-Christmas shows immediately following Christmas through like the 15th of January is the number one time of the year to gain audience. You will gain the most number of people for your show from December 25th to January 15th if you apply it correctly. Now, if you're a self-help show, what do you talk about following Christmas? You talk about financial management. You talk about ways to, you know, your New Year's resolution and have something like that. You talk about how to lose some weight after eating all the food during the holidays. You know, it's all those things that people are going to be looking for in the new year, and you want to be their new person that they listen to because they're looking for something fresh. But it's also the same time that you can lose a buttload of listeners because they're going to go through and they're going to look at
Who's updating their feed during that time?
Who's on my cutting list?
Yeah.
I don't have time for him or her no more. He hasn't been doing a good job. He hasn't been consistent. I'm looking for a fresh someone in my ear. So that 15 days following or that 20 days following Christmas is an absolutely critical part of the year. Don't stop podcasting. Or if you're going to take a vacation, plan your episodes. You have them in the can, ready to submit, ready to be published. You can be on vacation, drinking.
Schedule them. Yeah.
You can schedule them. You can be having, your spiked rum or whatever it may be that you're having for the holidays and skiing or off in Hawaii and coming, spending money, but you got to have those shows out.
So we do have an open seat. If any of you want to jump in and talk with us about podcasting, if you're doing a podcast or whatever, we'd be more than happy to bring you in.
Yeah, and ask questions or provide commentary.
If you have some contribution that you see about what's happening with your podcasts out there, if you've had any contact with the Spotify folks or something like that, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's always stuff brewing in this space. I mean, there's always things bubbling up out there, and it does seem like a lot of the attention is being focused right now around public radio. And I just wonder, you know, what's the long term of that? Is it more and more podcast networks are going to be published with that same model? It feels like that there's probably somewhat of a limit to that. Todd, what do you think? I mean, non-public radio content is somewhat, it's not, well, struggling probably isn't the right word for it, but as far as in the top tier of podcasting right now, it doesn't, is it a unique format, do you think, or is it just a format that fits best with podcasting?
You know, let's just be frank. Here I am on travel with a little gamer's headset and the audio quality is nowhere where I want it to be for this show. Back in my studio, I've spent a lot of money to have a nice sound flow, but it also, not only the sound is critical, it's the format and pacing that those guys are absolutely brilliant with.
Yeah.
So, I'll be straight up. I'm not a big fan of NPR content. I don't subscribe to NPR shows.
Yeah.
I don't know why. The raw stuff. Yeah. But as a podcaster, you could do yourself a lot of good by going in, and even if you don't like the content, listen to the pacing, listen to how they ask questions. But remember, their material is highly, highly, highly produced.
Yeah. And oftentimes it's very scripted too. I mean, they're actually reading from a script. Right. And they're taking that audio and they're cross layering it with fade ins and fade outs and they call it kind of soundscaping. And
the
NPR folks are masters at doing that. They have very talented audio editors that work with a lot of this content. So most podcasters are not going to be able to produce programs like that because they just don't have the time or the audio editing skills to actually produce that level of content. And I think it's interesting that's what audiences are gravitating towards, is the highly produced content, which a little contrary, Todd, I think to what we've always been saying about this space, is that it's all about organic, natural conversations.
Right.
And I guess, NPR shows aren't necessarily focused on conversations. They're more focused on a topic and telling a story.
And they are definitely not organic. They are very highly produced with an agenda.
And they also only hire talent that has a certain microphone sound too.
Right, right. I had someone tell me the other day, "Oh, you got a great radio voice." And I just laughed and laughed and laughed, because I'm like, that's in 11 years, that's the first time anyone's ever said that. But I think what you have to focus on is just telling good stories, and you can take lessons from their content.
Yeah.
This show, maybe to the detriment of this show and my other show, I do no editing. I hit record as we did today. And when we get done, I'll hit stop, and Blab's going to send me a couple of master files. I will go in and chop one end, and I'll chop the other, and I'll maybe check to make sure we're leveled out, or if I needed to use anything basically. I think I'm only running this show because I'm traveling through Aphonic. I'm not even doing any of my other processing channels I have, because it's not the same flow. The processing wouldn't work the same, and it's done. That's it. But I know a lot of content creators are probably listening to the show right now. You guys, boy, you kill yourselves over editing, and that's nothing wrong with that. But my wife wouldn't have stood for it. I would not be a podcaster today if I was editing for 5 hours. She would have left with the kids, and I would be paying alimony.
Todd, I don't do much of that anymore too. I mean, I used to do heavy editing with the old radio show that I had, because I'd hit certain time durations and segments. So you had to do all that kind of stuff, and lead-ins and intros and all this kind of stuff. And you just don't have to do that these days with podcasting. It's just a linear flow of conversation is really all I do now. Go ahead.
Someone's asking in chat room, outside the North American, what do you think about podcasting in other parts of the world outside North America and Europe? I think you're in a great position. Especially if you are the podcaster that's, being in a small, let's redefine small. If you are in a country and you're talking country specific content in the native tongue, in the native language there, I think you are well positioned to become a powerhouse in your country. If you're in an English speaking country and do you want to talk about stuff within your borders, I think that's absolutely fantastic. You are going to regionalize yourself. If you're talking about world affair, really, I guess it depends on the topic, but I don't go seeking out shows in other countries unless I'm maybe visiting there. And then I maybe go to a travel show or something. But if you are creating content that's unique, you're going to have to do your own promotion and get out there and get people to know that your show's available. You know, Rob, what do you, you know, a speaker has a big international audience. Yeah. What do you guys?
Well, this is a complex conversation that has many layers to it, because you're exactly right. Typically what happens in other countries around the world is that there's a lot of consumption of English U.S. content in a lot of countries around the world, but the content creation in those countries typically is in the native language, because most of the residents are primarily native speakers when their language skills are secondary English. So they don't feel as comfortable recording content in English that would be more appealing to a global audience. So you typically see a German podcaster producing a podcast in German than in English. So
right.
And that's going to regionalize this content right there. But from what I hear from the team with Spreaker that's in Europe, is that there's more and more interest in doing audio shows and programs like podcasts, and that it's growing, but it's, you know, it's a good 5 years or more behind the United States. That's been the case since podcasting started. So it's always been about 4 or 5 years behind as far as people producing shows and the scale. But also keep in mind too, that in any given country, short of like India or China, they're pretty small populations. A typical country outside of the U.S. has 30 million or less people.
Right.
So, but once you get into like China and some of the bigger countries out there, it's a completely different opportunity. And you're seeing a lot of content growth down in South America. Todd, you've been talking about that.
Brazil is just incredible. Yeah. Oh my God.
And there's pretty good sized populations down there. You're talking about a couple hundred million people down there.
Yep.
So you have a big enough audience to be able to tap into that. And I'm sure most of those podcasts are in Spanish.
Brazil is Portuguese.
Portuguese. Yeah. And so, you know, so you have these big languages that are around the world as well. And I think that as you think about podcasting, you need to think about languages more than you think about countries. So in
this instance, Rob, this gentleman is in Asia. He says, I am in Asia, China, Taiwan. And I think, you know, being
there's a lot of podcasts in those countries.
Yeah, but having a Japanese wife, this is one thing I do know from a cultural standpoint. So if you're an expat living in Asia, China, or Taiwan, your perspective is definitely going to be a little bit skewed from what maybe had someone that has been born and raised there. Now, if you are born and raised in that country, I've asked my wife many times. I'm like, do you want to do a show? You're Japanese. You can do a perspective of a Japanese and American, and absolutely not. No way am I going to put myself out there and give my opinion. I'll talk about events, but there's no way I'm going to give an opinion. And for years, I just didn't understand why the heck she wouldn't want to give her opinion. And it's part of the culture that really, it's kind of frowned upon. If your close circle of friends, it's fine to talk and give an opinion. Mm-hmm. But to be out there speaking to the world saying, this is what I think was really, and I guess still I don't fully understand the dynamics, but you know, it's almost like she was worried about people would say, well, who is she and why is she such an expert?
Yeah.
And it may be changing a little bit. China, I don't.
Yeah. So I was saying, is that kind of cultural thought the strongest in Japan? I would say it probably is, because I'm not sure that it's as strong in Taiwan and China.
Taiwan and China, I think the expats can tell a lot of stories about the culture of China that would shock a lot of people. And I've got a good friend. His name is Andy Brown. He's a doctor, and he does emergency medicine. He used to work on the west side of Chicago, kind of got burned out on that. And he can tell me all kinds of stories about the China culture stuff that many times he was just flabbergasted to happen that you would never see in the United States. So, but you know, if you're able to do a culture show on the country and talk about, you know, living there as an expat, and that's cool stuff. And what that really does is, you know, my wife and I have talked about, okay, after I retire, what are we going to do? And I said, well, let's just go overseas and live someplace. Let's go to Thailand, or let's go to the Philippines, or yeah, someplace like that and live. Number one, your dollar goes a lot further. And number two, it's, you know, you can live pretty good for a lot less money. And so we've got a free stuff show on. We don't see your video, but we can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me? Hi, Todd.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Hi, Rob. This Hi. Is Rick, by the way, Rick Savoy.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
I've been listening in, and I was actually in the middle of doing some blogging, and so I just sort of tuned in here and saw this for the first time on Blab, and not really familiar with Blab, so I had to run and borrow my son's headset just so I could plug it in and join. But I started doing this a while ago, and it took me this long to get the driver installed for this thing. So you guys have progressed on a couple more topics since. So I didn't mean to interrupt what you were discussing just now.
No, that's fine. I mean, we can always go back to it. So, you know, so what's your thought?
Well, a couple of things. When Todd was actually talking about ramping up shows for the holidays.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot to be said for that. There really is. And as I tweeted over a little while ago, my son, you know, I'm doing like six podcasts now, and my son Tommy has joined me for about for a couple of them, and he's doing a couple on his own, and that's his thing. I mean, when we get in the car and we drive to anywhere, pretty much, he's in the back seat. He has his head, you know, his earpiece on, and he's listening to podcasts.
Sure.
And that's what he's doing. And I do it sometimes myself. And you know, in the car when we're on a trip, I'm trying to be mindful of my daughter and my wife, because they don't want to have to listen to them. They want to hear some music. But my son and I are just really, really into doing that. And there's a lot to be said for that. Especially during the holidays. And we're probably not going to be doing too much traveling this year, but we probably will be producing more during the holidays. And I think that is an opportunity that gets missed by some podcasters, really.
You know, I think what it is, too, is there's another thing lurking below the surface that we don't say as podcasters, but I want them to get out of the car at Grandma's house and be so excited about something I said to go in and tell every aunt and uncle.
Go listen to that podcast.
Listen to this guy. You got to tune into this show. And I remind people during holidays to make sure they go and tell their. What was that? Oh, I don't play Game Center. So whoever sent me a friend request, sorry, I don't do that. To go in there and tell them about my show or a series of shows, or get their family members excited about podcasting. So it's a perfect, and that's where we kind of think grow too. If you get two or three people in the house talking about podcasting, the rest of them are going to be like, I need to check this out. Or they're going to say they're crazy, one of the two.
It's that word of mouth marketing, yeah, that's key to growing your show. It really is. There is nothing more powerful than word of mouth.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell Tommy for quite some time. He is, he loves podcasting. You know, he does two shows of his own, one of which is on TPN right now, and then he does one with me, the Free Stuff Show, that we do together. And the reason that I wanted to do one together with him was primarily because he came to me and said, "Dad, teach me everything you know about podcasting," and so. You know, I said naturally, well, what better way to teach them than to do it together? And he likes that. But the part where I think he has a lot of trouble with is he's not very extroverted in the sense that he really wants to go out and promote a show. He feels like it's a little bit too, you know, tooting his own horn is a little bit too vain. And I have to explain to him, marketing is a very, very important aspect of this. And you have to go out, like his school. a lot of people in his school are into into Nintendo gaming and that sort of thing. He does two podcasts related to that, but yet a lot of them are completely unaware that he has one. And I have to constantly tell him, you got to get out there and tell people. You got to get out there. You want to grow your audience. You've got to let them know. And he's very shy about that. That's one thing I'm trying to work with him on.
How old is he?
He just turned 16. He started podcasting when actually he and his sister Tia, both of them started podcasting when they were about 10 or 11. He's been podcasting for about 5 years, really. The first one they did was one called the Tia and Tommy Show. And we did a few episodes of that because my daughter was not as much into it as he was. So we did that for a few episodes, and then I said, why don't you just go ahead and do it on your own? Don't worry about your sister so much. And so that's what he did. But he's been doing it for about 5 years now.
Yeah, that's great that he's starting to do it at such a young age. That's fantastic.
We just had James join us. And hi, James.
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you fine.
I'm sorry, but my camera here is I'm using
Worry.
Okay. Oh, it looks great.
Hey, I don't even have one right now, so
continue. I'm not gonna break in, but go ahead.
No. I'm just throwing in my two cents for what it's worth.
So James, are you actually in Taiwan or are you in China or where are you at?
Oh, I'm in Taiwan right now. I do a podcast on expat living.
That's awesome.
I have a media background also, news and stuff like that. And so I started this program. I've been here for a long time, educated. In mainland China here from New York City. But it's a whole different world because a lot of things that's happening, and also I'm home right now, so I'm sorry about the lighting. But a lot of things that I see happening in a podcast world is basically situated to North Americans, you know? And here, as far as podcasting for the local population and Mandarin Chinese, it still hasn't got that niche on. And as far as me talking to people about podcasting in China, that's something that people are afraid of. So that will be limited. Right. But that also, how would you say, from a certain standpoint, a government perspective in mainland China, it can lead to some subversive activities. So I guess podcasting would not be encouraged in locations like that.
But wouldn't they be safer to do an audio podcast in China, and wouldn't there be ways to stay semi-anonymous, or are they just afraid that there's just too much monitoring and they would be tracked back, or someone would get word and they would be outed?
Of course,
you have to be careful what you're saying, what you're talking about too, I would think, than actually doing a podcast.
Well, if it's filtered, for example, if you go through the proper authorities, it's fine. But here in Taiwan, we don't have that kind of problem.
Yeah,
but
Taiwan doesn't have that issue.
I'm sure Todd understands the relationship with Taiwan and the U.S.
Yeah.
But this is a whole different – because there are people here in the region that would like to see podcasting take – you know, get up on its feet and take off. But it's like, you know, dragging, and it's tough. There's a lot of good content out here.
Is the do you find that there's a lot of, I guess for a better word, local Taiwanese that are doing shows, and what are they doing? And if they are, what are they doing their shows on?
I would say that the young because of the volatility here of certain political things, there are people using podcasts to promote that, but it's still at a relatively juvenile, low-level, put-on-the-side type of way of delivering information to people. But there are things that are picking up. Usually there's the college kids here that are doing things here basically for fun. And I've talked to a few that would like to get things off the ground, but they don't value it as too much of an asset right now because of the environment here. This is okay. Hong Kong, of course, there's a lot of podcasts now picking up in Hong Kong, but they also are aware of the umbrella they're under.
Yeah.
So, you know, podcasts is so interesting because they have such a small package and you can go cross borders.
James, you mentioned earlier about doing a podcast in China, having to go through filtering. How would that really work? Do you have to sort of apply to set up a podcast under the government, under government supervision or something?
100%. Yes. Yes. And there's, you know, there's things that you can talk about and there's things that you just don't talk about.
Right. Right.
And of course it would be filtered and stuff like that. But, you know, once podcasting does, or I would assume it would pick up, it will shake a lot of people in this region.
Do you think, though, that what? So the question then is, you know, what was big here in the United States was underground radio before, you know, where people would set up a rogue radio station. So and they were basically anti-establishment. So why in China hasn't there... Is the risk just too great of going alone and putting something out and hoping you're not found out? Because, you know, being, if you're an anti-establishment type of a person, you'd be like, man, I'm going to get this show out and then I'm going to publish it some American.com. Do you think there's just because of the filtering and IP tracking and all that stuff that they're just afraid that they're going to come and kick their door in? They don't think they can hide it well enough?
100%, because, you know, the Great Wall of China is very strong and they can track you down. We have certain areas. There are certain areas like Shanghai that have a direct link outside and it's like bottled in that area. But yes, that's just the bottom line there. Yeah. But, you know, that's only going to, you got people like Ai Weiwei, you know, certain activists that are really itching to do podcasting. I know that for a fact. And it's going to be really a big changer for some people when they're able to play it on their any device, you know.
And stupid. And
do you see that actually? A lot of the same software and stuff is available. I mean, so what kind of phones do most people have? Their iPhones or are they Android or?
They can be anything that you have in the West. They have, and some things you never heard of. Yes, right. quite easily. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, it's such a small thing. You know, it's not like just taking things into another country smuggled in your socks. This is something that can go, you know, without even touching someone physically. And I have to say, okay, even though the IP tracking is very, you know, very well followed there, there are ways people can just happen to go someplace and just drop something off and it gets on the internet.
Right,
but
right.
That's what I see as
sneaker net.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just like pirate radio was back in the States, you know, right. Pirate radio, it's going to happen. And I think this is why, for example, the legit, agenda are having a hard time here pushing podcasts.
And I just, you know, we don't realize how well we have it. And being able to talk about what we want to talk about. You know, even when I travel, I used to travel a lot in Asia. And even when I was in what would be considered a Western country that is, you know, same values, same freedom of speech, I would still be cautious in talking about certain things while I was actually recording the show within the specific country. It would often be I would wait until I was maybe back in Hawaii to be able to talk about certain things. Because you don't want to run afoul of the law and, you know, say something that's going to upset the person that stamped your passport. So, I can understand that completely, but
there are podcasts coming out of China and, Burma. There are. And, I know I've heard from some documents that, Burmese podcasters are having a heck of a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's, you know, it's when you have to really, you know, you got to think about this. We don't think about this, Rob, but imagine doing a podcast and then getting shot because of it. Or put in a re-education camp or something like that. Now, what will really set the world on fire is when we finally get someone in North Korea who speaks good English that can start smuggling out a podcast and telling the true story of what's going on there. It's a force equalizer.
The problem is that a lot of, you know, any content that would come out of North Korea probably wouldn't be in English. So,
well, that's true. That's why you would, you know, that's why I said if it was English content coming out of North Korea, but
No, I might get shot for saying this, but I'll bet that their dear leader probably listens to a lot of podcasts without any restraint.
Yeah, his English is good enough.
Yeah.
But I didn't mean to derail you guys, but this is something
that's really no, it's a good topic. It's a good topic. Yeah.
And at least I'm going to follow the path here and see what happens. But thanks a lot for letting me in.
Yeah, James, thanks for coming on. And I tell you what, and this is something that that as all podcasters, and we've said this many, many times on the show, you never know who's listening to your show. So it could be an executive. It could be someone that's going to offer you your next job. You just never know. So as you're doing your shows, you should, you know, keep that in mind. If, you know, don't let it constrain yourself. But, you know, Rob and I have been shocked to the core a few times to learn who was actually listening to the show. We find out privately, like, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I hear about it. I mean, I hear that same thing every week, you know, as I kind of span my communication across the industry. I say, you know, I regularly get this little comment at the end of the email. I listen to your new media show on occasion, you know, and it's like, oh, this guy's listening to our new media show. Yeah.
Now, that's like happened to me a number of times during the last almost a decade I've been doing this. It's happened to me a lot. And I've been just shocked sometimes to hear who listens. And sometimes good, sometimes bad, but always just surprising.
You know, I remember I did a show a few months ago. I was really like standing on a soapbox beating up on this one company. I mean, I was not being nice to them at all. In my, you know, traditional way of doing it on my tech show. And about 2 weeks later, I got this phone call from the CEO of the company. He says, man, you just like punched me in the mouth, dude. And I'm like, well, you deserved it.
Something like that happened to me too, not too long ago. And I was just, I never expected it.
And, you know, they come back and said, we're going to take what you said to heart and make some changes. And I'm like, well, good, you know, and it turned out to be a nice conversation, but it does become kind of awkward when you pick up the phone and so you get to, you're like, you know, you kind of get to, oh shit, you know, it's so-and-so on the phone, but it's fun, you know?
But you still just need to be who you are and talk about talk about. You know, Todd and I have been doing this for so long that, you know, I get on here and I talk about things that I probably shouldn't sometimes, and I know Todd does the same thing, but we always kind of push the envelope a little bit. You know, there's certain things that obviously I just won't do. I mean, it doesn't that I'm being filtered by some country or somebody that's going to not break in my door, but I do it more for respect of other people too.
Right.
That's the key word, respect.
Yeah.
Well, guys,
we all do some censoring of what we do. Yeah,
it's 2:20 in the morning here, so let me get.
All right,
thanks a lot, guys. I'll be back. I'll be back.
All right.
Okay. Bye, awesome. Bye, Jen. Bye, bye.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for jumping in.
Can you come back in about 15 minutes?
Todd.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're not talking about you, the blab listeners here. Come back in 15.
No, minutes. I'm talking,
talking about Todd's room service.
Yeah, that was perfect timing, right?
Oh my God. Exactly.
Sorry. They were pounding on the door. You know, let me in.
I want to get to your sheets.
What it is I always leave a nice tip on the bed for the.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah,
Reed, the ultimate motivator.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking to your wife there.
No. Get out of here.
No, my wife. That's why I closed the door here because I knew she was going to be in saying, "Hey, you know, don't you have the lawnmower or something?"
Yeah, I was getting a little bit of that, and I'm 8,000 miles away from my lawnmower the other day, so. I know what's awaiting me when I go home.
Yeah, exactly.
New
list, right?
Yeah. Oh, she's just going to like, okay, you've got it. I'm going shopping. See you in a week or something like that.
So. Yeah.
You know, so Todd, you were mentioning – I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's fine. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You were mentioning earlier, too, about in that discussion about cultural differences as far as podcasting is concerned. You know, my wife's Filipina, so she's probably the only person in the family who's never sat down in front of the mic yet. And I think it's pretty much for the same reasons that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But, you know, you also, you know, ought to encourage her because, you know, having – I'm on my second marriage. My first marriage, I was married to a Filipina. And they've got some great opinions.
Oh,
and
they are very opinionated.
Yeah, I think no they doubt. They would, you know, I know there are some very, very good and well-followed Filipino shows coming out of PI that, but it might, it might be kind of cool for her to do a, you know, if you could give her, encourage her to get on the mic, she could do a, and she doesn't have to do an English, she could do a Tagalog show that, you know, talked about stuff going on, you know, wherever you may live and, you know, what's available. And it's all about the connections, you know, so.
I've tried to encourage her in the past, but so far she's sort of, you know, waved it off. And I'm sure at some point she'll probably see that as a good soapbox in the future for some of her opinions. But for now, she's just letting the rest of us go at it.
Right. The key is to get three or four of them right here on a blab and let them do a show. Then it will get really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But anyway, cool. We've got an open seat here. So if anybody wants to jump in, feel free to jump in. We're just kind of winging it today. We are about 10 minutes here before the wrap of the show. But believe it or not, Rob, we're almost at 90 minutes.
That's amazing. I don't even know how that happened.
Yeah. Last week we went 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to get it back in within reason today. But, you know, I think looking at some news items that have come in, I don't know if I talked about this last week, but Mixcloud is the first podcast app on the new Apple TV. So, of course, Apple, for some reason, does not have the podcast app on the new Apple TV. There's also word of a new company called AudioMate that is out there that allows creators to offer – allows, I guess – it's basically an ad type exchange where they're trying to connect podcasters with advertisers. Don't know a lot about them or who the actual company or who's behind the company, except I think they're out of San Francisco. Did hear that. And of course we got news up, Rob, on podcasternews.com talking about your guys' speaker podcast radio for Android being available.
Yeah.
And that's apps available. So when's the iOS version of that coming?
It'll probably come out, you know, probably late spring, probably of next year. So, I mean, Spreaker has a fairly small development team, so we're plodding away. I mean, actually, we've had two software announcements here lately. We had a creation, recording, and live streaming app that came out a couple months ago for Windows and Mac, which is kind of unusual to see client development for Windows and Mac these days. But yeah, so we've been focused on creating software is what we've been doing. I think we're coming into a phase now where we're going to be focused more on kind of the user experience.
User experience.
Yeah, of creating shows on the platform.
We're getting a little feedback from you, Chris.
Okay. I'm going to put on headphones. I'll be right back.
Oh, it's good now.
Oh, is it? Okay. I've never.
Yeah, it sound like it.
Yeah, if you just turn the actual volume down a little bit, it can help.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good. So, Chris, welcome to the New Media Show. Yeah,
hey, thanks. Long-time listener.
Oh, really? Oh. Awesome.
Well, I mean, from Todd, from like, has it really been like 10 years?
Like, 11.
11. So, like, I listened to you before iTunes.
Wow.
I think so. And then I did a show for a little while before iTunes started podcasting.
So you're a sub-60 listener, sub-50 listener. That's incredible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Todd, I heard about, you know, the same thing from a couple of people last week that listened to my old radio show back in the mid-2000s. It's like, you know, those people are still out there. All those people that listened to your show a long time ago, they maybe don't listen to it currently, yeah, but they still spent time with your program.
I think I find, you know, Chris, I don't know if you've been there the whole time, but I think what I have found is that people leave and then they come back.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, you can only handle so much of me for some amount of time. So then you have to, like,
well, so no offense, but I mean,
I can attest to that too, Todd,
for a long time ago because, yeah, being overwhelmed with things, and you were you were like daily, weren't you?
Or you No, I was twice a week.
And so it's like your interest would change and things would, and then you would modify what device you were downloading shows on. So while I haven't been listening to your show lately, I still follow you on all the social media channels. And so that's why I'm here right now.
And I find, Chris, I find that happens a lot even with me. I listen to a show for a while, then I'll kind of like want to listen to something else. And I'll listen to something else for a while, and then I'll come back to a show. Right now I'm back into a show, Hot and Heavy, that I have been gone for a couple of years. And it's like the show really hasn't changed that much, but it's, you know, I needed their content again. So I think that's what kind of happens.
It's also interesting if you do a full reset, like everything you ever have subscribed to goes away.
Yeah.
And you have to start fresh, and you're trying to remember, what do I need to listen to?
Yeah. If
you can make that cut, that's pretty amazing. But
yeah,
I don't think I listened to any shows of original podcasters that I listened to back then.
Listen to anyone for 11 years. I don't think I've listened to anybody for 11 years.
You should say that. Yeah,
it's true though. Let's be honest. Yeah. You know, Rob, have you listened to anyone for 11 years or 10 years?
Well, there's not very many of them been around that long.
Onesie doozies.
That's the other part of it, right? Mm-hmm. Most shows don't last that long.
Right. Most shows last 2 years. They don't even get to the point where they can recycle listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. But, you know, Chris, I think, you know, in what happened, you know, what I've seen too is that in the early days, there was so many folks, you know, I was getting emails almost every day. Someone was starting a show because they had listened to the show. And they went on to do their own shows, and some were successful and some weren't. And then, you know, sometimes those people came back, sometimes they didn't. I know a lot of podcasters oftentimes don't have time to listen to a lot of shows because they're doing their own thing. You know, they're promoting and they're staying busy. But I think it's important that we all try to, you know, I try to listen to on a monthly basis. Right now I'm going through about 100 shows a month. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
I don't know where you get where you find the time to do all that, Todd. Plus you're on all the social media. You know, I follow you on most all the social media sites, but, and I wasn't going to comment on this before, but you know, I'm one of those people that I leave, as far as your show is concerned, I leave and come back and leave and come back. And it's not because I don't want to stop listening to you at all, because I've always enjoyed, you know, Geek News. It's a matter of, well, you know, right now I'm doing 6 or 7 podcasts on my own, and I've spread myself so thin that I really don't have time to come back and listen to all the shows. Although I do have some of your shows actually on my computer with the intent to listen to them, and some of them go way back because I never really had a chance to stop and listen. But I just want to say it's not because I've ever left.
Right.
It's just because you just simply run out of time.
Yeah. Life gets in the way.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You have to prioritize your time.
So, Chris, what are you doing these days then? What's cooking with your show?
So I just haven't been doing a show for a really long time.
Oh.
And so I want to get back into some kind of it's so hard to find the time to do a show. And I want to do a show that's kind of focused on Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and freedom of association and permaculture and politics and all these random things, the things that I like to listen to, and trying to bring it all together.
Yeah. You know, I understand the time thing, and I think about Rob, you think about the sacrifice that your wife makes and everyone else that does a podcast. It's like Monday and Thursday night, man. Those are like lockout days, and Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm telling her nothing scheduled for Monday, nothing scheduled for Thursday, and nothing scheduled for, of course, it's pretty easy to stay away from being scheduled, I think 7:30 in the morning on Saturday, unless it's a kid soccer game or something. But you know, it's four or five hours that we have to ask a family member to do without us, without interruption and you know, kid stuff, or you know, all that stuff that goes on. So it's a big sacrifice that significant others make.
That's a good point, because I don't know how many times of that. I mean, I used to go in and ask my wife and the kids to be quiet while I go in and into my little booth and record the shows. But after a while, it got to the point where she just got used to it. I said, "Hey, honey, I'm going to be recording." So she just says, "Okay," and she closes the doors downstairs and just. But a lot of what I do is late night now. You know, she'll want me to come to bed. Hey, you got to get up tomorrow. I go in and I'll just wait for her to go to bed, and then I'll go in and quietly podcast and get my shows out. And that's kind of how I've worked around a lot of that.
Rick, I've been married 20 years, and when my wife asks me to come to bed, everything gets shut off immediately.
You know what, Todd? I should have learned that lesson a long time ago. But
I want to know about it.
That's 21 years for me, and I guess I still get my wife grief on that. Yeah,
but, put the brakes on, Todd.
You know, that's hey, come on now. If he says, you know, because it's. I've been married 20 years. She doesn't ask me to come to bed. She just goes to bed.
Better get going.
Yeah. I'm going to be in so much trouble if she watches this.
Everything I learned about marriage, I learned the hard way.
Oh. But, oh, I know. I think, you know, this. To be a podcaster, you have to love it, and you have to be willing to sacrifice time. And, you know, as I told her, I said, I could own a boat. And if I own a boat, you'd probably see me a lot less, because, you know, it's boats are you have to throw $100 bills at them every day. And, you know, it's just it's you pick your poison. So
it's true.
And another what we did forget to bring up one thing, Rob, about the reason people are listening more this time of year. It's colder. People are spending more time in front of their computer.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the trend has always been is that listening drops in the summer months because people are out, you know, doing stuff with their family. They're going to the beach or they're doing this. They're not necessarily listening to podcasts. But, yeah. I mean, especially in the northern climates, so you're just kind of trapped inside. It's just like up here in Seattle. It's like been raining the last 5 days. So it's like I don't even want to go outside.
So one of the – somebody in the chat room said, I don't know, Todd, I have listeners from all the way back in 93. Not many, but they are there. And we all do. I have listeners all the way back from episode one as well. And God bless them for being, you know, part of the audience for that long. It's definitely appreciative. And you know what it is it, and as I've always said, they're no longer listeners. They're family. And, you know, they've been with you that long. They know more about you than most of your best friends do. So that's just the way this space works.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, we're at an hour 30, hour 35 actually for the show today. So Rob, any closing thoughts here as we've kind of been on this journey today?
No, I think, so are you back in Hawaii next Saturday?
I am. I fly back Friday. And I'll get the studio dusted off and some electrons flowing through things Friday night if I'm still able to walk. And God willing, Saturday morning, I'll be ready to go at 6 a.m.
Wow. Is it
actually 7 a.m.? 7 a.m. now because we're only
– That's right. We fell back.
Get to sleep an extra hour. Yeah. Yep.
So is it possible for us to simulcast on YouTube and Blab?
I'm going to have to look at that. I don't know if I'll be able to do it the first day back. I was able to do a Blab. I have to remember how I had it hooked up. I had a weird connection. But, yeah, we probably can do that. I think it would be good. You know, we get good interaction here with doing this on Blab versus doing it on YouTube because I think people are just more easy to hang out here.
Yeah, I mean, if it's possible to have it going to both places is what I'm saying. I mean,
Yeah. Or this primary, maybe YouTube secondary. So –
yeah. I mean, however it can work, yeah.
Yeah, I just got to figure out how to get the wires
run. Yeah, exactly. It's a complicated web, I guess. You'd have to have like two outputs and two inputs.
That's
the video.
Not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, that's easy. Yeah. I just got to figure out how to get it all wired up so that we can actually be on the studio switcher. I don't know if I have you. I don't know. I'll think about it this week.
Okay.
I'll see if I can run it through my brain how to get it all hooked up so we can do this again this way. Maybe we'll just do it this way until I figure out how to do it.
Okay.
All right, guys. All right. Chris, thanks for hanging out with me. Rick, thanks for hanging out with us as well.
Rob, Tom, thanks a lot. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, it was fun.
Everyone else, there's a show, Sci-Fi Talk, been in the podcasting space a long time. He's in the chat room as well. Eileen is here too. So everyone that's been here, thanks for hanging out and chit-chatting.
Aloha, Arlene? Is that Eileen?
No, no, that's not Aloha.
Oh, okay.
Do you know Aloha Irene?
Yeah, I talked to her years ago. You know, when you did the 24-hour podcast and stuff, that's when I first got to talk to her.
Oh, there's some interesting stuff to talk about her privately.
Okay. Say that for another show.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Different lady, though. Different ladies.
Yeah.
But everyone else, thanks for being here, and we'll see you the next go-round here at the New Media Show. And, of course, you can watch, I should have told you, Rob at newmediashow.com, Todd at newmediashow.com, and, of course, go over to the website at newmediashow.com to get subscribed so you never miss an episode if you can't hang out with us here on Blab or YouTube Live or wherever it may be. But we'll see you next week here at the New Media Show. Everyone, take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.